Today's shiur is Masechet Vav Basra, Daf Chaf Dalad, and we will begin on Daf Chaf Gimel Amud Beis, five lines from the bottom. In our previous shiur, we had learned the opinion of Rab Chanina, who taught us that in a situation of Safek, in a situation where there's a question, the Torah gives us two different methods on how to evaluate a situation of Safek. One is Roiv, we follow the majority, and the other is Karev, we follow which is closer. And Rav Chanina taught us, when Roiv and Karev conflict each other, we follow Roiv. Says Gemara, our Gemara tries to question this premise based on what we learned in our Mishnah. Toshma, Nimtza ben Shnev Shoivchis, if a bird was found between two nests, Karev Lezeh Shaloi, it was found closer to one nest, it belongs to the owner of that nest. Karev Lezeh, if it found closer to another nest, Shaloi, it belongs to the owner of that nest. It seems, as says the Gemara, even though one nest is larger than the other nest, so Roiv says that it should come from the larger nest, still tells us our Mishnah that we follow Karev, and we say that it came from the closer nest. Isn't this a question on Rav Chanina? There are those Rishonim that want to say that the question is not strictly on Rav Chanina. The question is even according to the Man D'Omer that would say that we follow Karev, but maybe we only follow Karev where it's very evident that the bird or whatever is in question came from the closer area. But in our case, where maybe the Karev is not that obvious, and Gemara is asking that why do we follow Karev in this part of the Mishnah? But again, we're going to learn that the Gemara's question is on Rav Chanina. The Rav Chanina says that when Roiv and Karev are in conflict, we follow Roiv. Our Mishnah seems to be saying that we follow Karev. Answers the Gemara, Hachamai Skinen. Our Mishnah is referring to a situation, Shishneim Shovim, that both nests are of equal in size, and since they're both equal in size, there's no Roiv to follow. Ask the Gemara, maybe the two nests are equal in size. However, for Lazel Basaruba da Alma, there are birds that could be flying from anywhere. Birds fly, and therefore, why do we take into consideration all of the birds of the world that might have flown here? Answers the Gemara, Hachamai Skinen, as we explained in the previous Mishnah. Our Mishnah is referring to Shvil Shalkromim, a place where there are a lot of vineyards. And as we learned also in our previous shiur, our Mishnah is referring to a bird that's happing. And a bird that haps doesn't hap more than 50 amos. Furthermore, din isa the ma'alma osi, birds that come from elsewhere, kiven the medadi by matza osi, we don't have to be concerned that they happed here, that other birds happed here. Because, says the Gemara, to call the medadi v'hada chazale lekine, besides, as we learned yesterday, that birds don't hap more than 50 amos, there's another fact, that birds that hap only hap if they can see their nest from where they came from. That's when medadi they will hap. But if they can't see the nest from where they come, loy medadi, they will not hap. And in our Mishnah, as the Gemara just explained, it's a shvil shakramim, so there are trees blocking the view for birds that are not from this area to see their original nest, and therefore we don't have to be concerned for any other birds besides the birds that are strictly from the nest that are here that can see their original nest and hop back to it because it's both within 50 amos and visible from where they came. The Chafetz Chaim uses our Gemara to teach us how a Jew is supposed to live. He says, the Pasuk says, Am novel v'loi chacham, halu huvicha kanecha. He says, the Pasuk is telling Klal Yisrael, don't be an Am Novav Loi Chacham. Don't be a foolish people. Halo Uvicha Kanecha. Our relationship to God should be a relationship Kanecha, like God is our nest. And just like our Gemara is teaching us, that a bird never moves away from its nest to a distance where it can no longer see its nest, so should we never do an act which we don't pay attention, that we don't remember our nest, that we don't remember our vicha, that we don't remember our Kodesh Baruch Hu. If we will take such an attitude to all of our action, always considering, is this what our Kodesh Baruch Hu wants us to do, we will act as chachamim, as smart people, rather than being an am novel v'loy chacham. There's a story based on this Gemara regarding Rav Chaim Berlin. Rav Chaim Berlin was the Rav in Moscow after the communists already took over, where it was illegal for one to practice as a Jew. And the story goes that every year on Pesach, when Shir HaShirim is read, when they came to the Pasuk of Hinech Yofach Rayosi, Hinech Yofach Einayich Yoinim, Rav Chaim Berlin would cry. And his Talmidim asked him why he specifically cries at this Pasuk. So he says that when he was the rabbi of Moscow, one day somebody came to his home and said, I need to meet with you privately. Rav Chaim Berlin, of course, agreed to meet with this person who did not look Jewish at all. And the person identified himself and said, even though I do not look Jewish at all, I really am Jewish. However, I'm very, very far from our religion, but I did just have a baby boy, and I would like you to come and perform a bris milah for this child. However, since it's very important to me that my identity remain hidden, that I am Jewish, he made all sorts of conditions with Rav Chaim Berlin. Of course, Rav Chaim Berlin had to come all by himself to do the bris milah. Furthermore, Rav Chaim Berlin would have to come and travel and come to his house in a very circuitous route, that it shouldn't be obvious that he was coming to that house. He would have to try to conceal himself as much as possible. And Rav Chaim Berlin, in order to do a bris milah for a Jewish child, agreed. And Rav Chaim Berlin said indeed he came to this house following all the conditions, and he said there was no sign in this house in the slightest manner that the people living in this house were Jewish. It was in a totally non-Jewish neighborhood. Yet when he came in, this person, the father, immediately greeted him. He himself assisted Rav Chaim Berlin in doing the bris milah. He made sure there should be nobody else in the house who would even come get any wind that a bris milah was being performed on this Jewish child. So Rav Chaim Berlin said, here we see what a Jew is all about. We have a Jew who obviously was very, very far from our religion, but still, when he had a child, he wanted his child to have a bris milah. Why? So Chaim Berlin said, because our Gemara is like, because Klal Yisrael are compared to a yoina, are compared to a dove. And our Gemara says that what is a yoina? A bird always looks back to its nest. So Chaim Berlin said that every time he came to this pasuk in Shir HaShirim of Hinech Yofech Rayasa, Hinech Yofech Einayich Yoinim, he remembered that Jew who was very far, very, very far from our religion, but he had the Einayim of a Yoina. He had, every Jew deep, deep down has the eyes of a Yoina, that has that connection, that flicker still burning, connecting him to our religion, connecting him to Klal Yisrael. And he remembered that person, and he would cry remembering the Mesiras Nefesh of even that Jew to perform a bris milah for his son. Amar Abaye. So Abaye continues in teaching us that Reb Chanina, who says that we follow Roiv over Karev, Abaya brings a raya from a Mishnah to that opinion. A woman is compared, her body is compared to a building, and the uterus, which is known as the Makar, dam, blood that comes from that area, is tamei. There's another area in this, in the person's, in the woman's body, which is known as the aliyah. The uterus is known as the makar or the cheder. There's another area called the aliyah, that if blood comes from that area, that blood is tahar. And the Mishnah Masechta Nida teaches us, says Abaya, the dam shenimtza b'proizda, if blood is found in the canal of the woman's body, and we don't know from where that dam came, we say sfeikoi tomei, we don't know for sure from where the dam come, we still assume that it came from the cheder, from the makar, and that it's that tom, and it's dam tomei, and we don't say that it came from the liyah, in which case the dam would be tahar. Shechaskosoi, we assume that it came from the makar. Vafagav, dik aliyah, even though the aliyah is an area, the mikrav, which is closer, and the dam that comes from the aliyah is tahar, and if we follow karayv, we ought to say that's where the dam comes from. We don't follow karayv, we follow roiv, and since most dam comes from the uterus, we assume that that's where this dam came from too. So again, we seem to have a proof that we follow roiv rather than karev. Amalei Rava. Rava says there's no proof from here, because this is a situation of roiv amotzi. Roiv amotzi kamrit, we have two factors. Number one, we have roiv, and we also have most frequently, this is where the dam comes from. In the situation of roiv amotzi, everybody will agree we follow roiv. And I saw a number of pshatim in the achronim to explain why roiv umotzui is more than just a regular roiv. The simplest pshat is that roiv umotzui is a very strong roiv. And it's a very strong roiv, everybody agrees we follow roiv. Another pshat is that roiv umotzui has the halachic status of two roiv. So when is there a question, do we follow roiv or do we follow karoiv? That's only when there's only one roiv. But roiv matsui has the status of two roivs, and two roivs we certainly follow. Another pshat is that there are really two types of roivs. There's ruba de isa kamon, and there's ruba de leisa kamon. Ruba de isa kamon is when we have the classical case of a majority. 9 kosher butcher shops, 1 non-kosher butcher shop. There the Torah says, a din, that achar rabim lahatas, we follow the roiv. And that's where we could have a debate if we follow roiv or we follow karif. But here we have a situation of ruba de leisa kamon. A ruba de leisa kamon, everybody agrees that the reason we follow such a roiv is because it's a birur. It's a way of clarifying certainly what happened. In the situation of Ruba de Leisa Kamon, everybody agrees that that roiv we follow over any other way of answering the question. The Tanur Reb Chiya. And here actually, there's a Machloikus Rishonim, what the proper Gersa is. Some has Gersa, the Tani, which is a little difficult to understand, because the Braisa said that the Gemara is going to quote doesn't actually teach us the concept of roiv motzui. So question is, why would this braisa be quoted to prove what we just said when the braisa doesn't speak about that situation at all? So the Rishonim that do have the Gersa Tanur Reb Chiya say that this braisa is showing us that how far do we follow the, it's a continuation of the previous din. That we said that the woman that's found dam shenimtza b'proizda, we say that it came from the makar, and now Bryce is teaching us what the halacha will be. Tosfos, however, has a girsa that doesn't have the dalid, it just has Tani Reb Chiya, and according to this version, It's a whole new concept that's being introduced here, which actually will lead us to ask a question. The Tani Reb Chiya, Dam Hanimtza B'Praizda, if Dam was found in the Praizda, Chayav Mabiyas Migdash, if a woman in such a status would come to the Beis HaMikdash, the halacha would be that she would have to bring a Karban Chatas. Now the halacha is, a woman brings a Karban Chatas for coming to Beis HaMikdash when she's Tomei, only when she's definitely Tomei. Because if she's not definitely Tomei, there's a question of Chulin Bazara, bringing a Karban that one is not obligated to bring. Our Gemara that says that you bring a Karban under these circumstances obviously holds that she's Vadai Tomei. Furthermore, the Safran of a Truma. If somebody Tomei comes in contact with Truma, so the halacha is that Truma must be burnt. But if it's only a questionable Truma, the Truma is not eaten, nor is it burnt. Here the halacha is that it's considered Vadai Tomei, and that if a woman like this would touch that Truma, the Truma would have to be burnt. Vomarova. And Rava said after learning this Braisa of Chia, Shmamna Rav Chia Tlas, we can learn from Rav Chia's statement three dinim. Shmamina, Roiv Akarav, Halachacha Roiv. In our case, we're following the Roiv that the Dam came from the Makar, not from the Aliyah. Shmamina, Ruba Daraisa, that the din of following Roiv is a din Midaraisa. So Mepharshim asked the obvious question. Of course Roiv is a Daraisa. It's a pasuk in the Torah, Achri Rabim Lahatos. So going back to what we said a moment ago, we could understand. Because as we said a moment ago, there are two types of roivs. There's Roba de Isa Kamon and Roba de Leisa Kamon. And what Rav Chiya is teaching us is that not only do we follow a Roba de Isa Kamon, but we even follow a Roba de Leisa Kamon. And furthermore, Shmamina, Isa de Rav Zeira, that what Rav Zeira said is correct. Dom Rav Zeira, Al Bishadalsis Medina Ne'ulas. There's a case that we've mentioned many times, that if meat was found in a city, and most of the butcher shops, 9 of the butcher shops in the city are kosher, and one is not, we say that the meat came from the butcher shop, that's Roiv. Meat is kosher because it came from the majority of butcher shops called the Parish Merubik Parish. Says Rav Zeira, that din is not only said in a city where the gates of the city are left open, and therefore the people coming to travel to the city are mainly people who eat only kosher meat, and therefore we have two roivs, the roiv of the butchers, of the meat shops in the city are kosher, coupled with the roiv of the people who are traveling into the city are carrying kosher meat. But even, says Reb Zeira, in a situation that there are no people coming into the city, the gates of the city are closed, so we only have one roiv. The roiv that most of the butchers, most of the meat stores in this city are kosher, is enough for us to follow the roiv. Why? Because says Rava, "Dichiisha kidasis medina nulustamnia." A woman is like a closed gate. There's only one roiv. The roiv of the dam comes from the makar, and still we follow that roiv. So we see that to follow roiv, we don't need to have two roivs. One roiv is adequate. Ask the Gemara, how could Rava extrapolate Reb Zeira's psak from this situation? Didn't we just learn before, for Rava the Kamar, that the situation of the woman that found the dam, and we don't know clearly from where it came, that it's a situation of Roiv Matsu Leklamandomer. And as we explained before, according to one of the opinions of the Achroinim, the definition of Roiv Matsu creates a situation of two Roivs. So now we have a very big kasha. Rava wanted to say that this is a situation of one Roiv. And from here we see that one Roiv is enough to follow. But Rava was the mandamer that said that the situation of the woman finding the dam is a situation of Roiv Matsui. And as we explained, Roiv Matsui is in the category of two Roivs. So how could this case be a proof to Reb Zeira that one Roiv is enough? Answers the Gemara, Hadabei Rava Mehi. After Rava reviewed his learning, he felt that you don't need to have Roiv Matsui. Roiv itself is strong enough to follow, Matzui is not necessary, and that's why by the woman just roiv alone makes a tamoy, and it's a right to Rav Zeira that one roiv is enough to follow. Says the Gemara, Itma. Chavish shetzafa benor. If a barrel of wine was found floating in the Euphrates River. Amarov, Rav, Nimtis Kenegat Ish Rebbe Yisrael. If it was found parallel to a city which is mostly Jewish, mutter, we say that the wine came from the Jews and it's mutter. Machlokes Rishonim, what does mutter mean? Does mutter mean that it may even be drunk? Or does mutter mean that it's mutter bahano? Kenegat Rav Shinochrim, if it's most found parallel to a city which is mostly non-Jewish, Asira, we say that the wine is not kosher. B'Shmuel Amar Shmuel holds, I feel an interest Kenegat Ish Rebbe Yisrael, even if it's found next to a city which is mostly Yisrael, Asira. Because Amar, we say, Mahai Dekara Asoi, that it traveled down the river, and it traveled from a city that's mostly non-Jewish. Says the Gemara, it seems that the machloikus of Rav and Shmuel is connected to the machloik if we follow or don't follow the opinion of Chanina. The ma is like Rav Chanina. Shmuel says we follow the roiv seems to be following the opinion of Rav Chanina. Omar and Rav, who follows Karev, which is the closest city to where this barrel of wine was followed, Leslie Rav Chanina doesn't follow Rav Chanina, and even though there's a roiv, he follows the Karev. And as the Rajb explains, this would be what is part of the Gemara's question, is that this is a very difficult way of explaining the machloikus of Rav and Shmuel. Because we have a machloikus throughout Shas, if holchin b'momen achar roif or not. Shmuel's opinion is that ain holchin b'momen achar roif, and Rav's opinion is that holchin b'momen achar roif. So Rav is the man, the Omer, says the Rajba, that always gives more weight to Rav. Yet in our Gemara, he's the man, the Omer, that's giving more weight to Karif. Says the Maraloi. It's not necessary that these two machloikas are connected. It could well be the Kulam Isla Rav Chanina, that everybody agrees with the opinion of Chanina. Here the machloikas is a different machloikas. The Masover, Rav held, if the barrel traveled down from high dekara, a kulav pshurimat bilei. There are different things in the river that would have prevented it from traveling all the way downstream. And that's why we don't assume that it came from anywhere else, just from the city next to where it was found. Masover, where Shmuel holds that even though many times there are things that block and prevent the barrel from traveling downstream, however, Harifa de Nara Nokavasoi, sometimes there's a very big current that pushes that down, and we have to take that into consideration, and therefore we have to look at all of the areas from where this barrel of wine could come from. We follow Rav, and the Rav is not Jewish. Says the Gemara another. There was a barrel of wine that was found in a field where the grapes of that field were still arla. Said Ravina. Ravina said that we could drink the barrel of wine and we don't have to be concerned that it came from these grapes that are arla. So Taisa says that we don't have to assume that the reason he was makel is because it's a situation of Suffolk Arla in Chutz Loretz, that the halach is we're more lenient with Suffolk Arla in Chutz Loretz. Number one, because it could well be that this story took place in Eretz Yisrael Seder Rishonim. And number two, that if we won't follow the Rav Chanina because we follow Rav, so then it's not a situation of Suffolk Arla. It'll be considered Vade Arla, and therefore by Vade Arla, we have to be Machme even Chutz Lartz. So the Gemara is assuming that why did Ravina say you're allowed to drink that barrel of wine? So the Savalei Chavnina, he holds like Chavnina, that we don't follow Karoif, we follow Roif, and Roif of the wine is not Arla. As Toisvis, even if we'll say the Roif of the wine is not Arla, but Rav of the world is not Jewish, so the wine should be also to be drank because it's perhaps Stam Yena, it comes from Goyim. So I saw two terutz. One terutz, Taisu says, is the Roiv Ganovim Yisrael. Most, this wine was obviously stolen wine because it was hidden. And who hides something? Ganovim. And Roiv Ganovim are Yisrael, and then we don't have to assume that this is non-Jewish wine. Another terutz that I saw is that indeed, when Ravina said that it's mutter, he didn't mean that you could drink it, because drinking may be osur, because it may be stam yenom. What he meant was that you're allowed to have hanah from it. Because if it's orlah, the halacha is that orlah is even osur b'hanah. Ravina wasn't concerned that it's orlah, but perhaps, says the Yaivitz, he was concerned that it's stam yenom, and it would only be mutter b'hanah, not b'shtiyah. Says the Gemara, Shani Hossam. Says the Gemara, there's no proof that we actually follow, from that case, there is no proof that we actually follow Rav Chanina's opinion. Shani Hossam, Di Mignavinei. If the wine was indeed stolen, it's Nu Bigavela Matzni. Nobody would steal the wine, nobody would hide the wine in the place where we actually stole it from. And that's why we don't have to be concerned that it came from this field and was Orla. Says the Gemara, Hani Mili, Chamra. Only wine, we don't have to be concerned about that. Ava imvi, grapes, that ganovim may actually hide the grapes in the vineyard from which they were stolen, and therefore the halacha would be that if the grapes were found hidden in the field that was orla, it would be osir even bahana, because Ravina would say that Karev teaches us that we need to be concerned that these grapes come from this field, and this was an orla field. Continues the Gemara. Hani zika de chamra. There were these small leather pouches of wine. The shtakich pei kupoi. They were found in a vineyard that belonged to a Jew. Asherina Rava. And Rava said you could drink that wine. Lema. Leisavalu Rav Chanina. It seems that he doesn't agree with Rav Chanina. And that's why he's following Karev. And Karev says that the wine comes from this field. Because if he would agree with Rav Chanina, then we should follow Roiv. And Roiv tells us that it's also to drink that wine, because most wine is non-Jewish wine, it's tam yenam. And Sigmar, no. Shani Hassan, the Ruba de Shulcha Yisrael Ninu. Most of the people who pour wine into bags were Jews. And therefore, even if we follow Roiv, we could assume that this was kosher wine. However, points out the Gemara, the Hani Mili, Baravravi, that was only said by large bags, which are used by wine merchants, avazutri, small wine pouches. Everybody used to carry those types of small wine pouches. Ema, over drach nafel, we have to be concerned that it fell from people that were traveling, and most of the people that are traveling are not Jewish, and therefore the wine cannot be drunk. However, says the Gemara, even if you'll find small wine pouches that we now would just machmer about them. However, the ikra ravavi behadayu, if there are large pouches and small pouches together, emer bavruve hamanachim. And since, as we just said, large pouches were generally only held by wine merchants who were Jewish. If there are large pouches and small pouches together, we assume that the small pouches were only put there to help balance the large pouches. In other words, the way they used to ship the wine in the large pouches, they used to put them on two sides of the donkey. But not every pouch is exactly the same weight. So the way they used to balance it is that they used to put small pouches together with the large pouches to balance the weight. So if we found large pouches, which as the Gemara just taught us, is an indication that it came from a Jew. If the small pouches are together with the large pouches, we assume they were there just to help balance the large pouches, and then we could even assume that even the small pouches came from Jewish merchants, and that wine we could drink. Says the Mishnah, Mechikin ha'se'ilam an'ir, esrim chamisha amah. Somebody could distance a tree from a city 25 amas. U'b'char v'shikma, if somebody is planting sycamore or carob trees that their leaves grow very far, their halacha is chamishim amah, because they have so many branches. Abishol says, kol ilan srak, every tree that doesn't give fruit should be distanced chamishim amah. if the city was there first, and then somebody illegally planted a tree near the city, that tree is cut down, and the city doesn't have to compensate the owner of the tree for the tree that was cut down. However, if the tree was there before the city, the tree still has to be cut down, but the owner of the tree is compensated. If we're not sure what came first, the tree or the city, the tree should still be cut down, and the city doesn't have to compensate the owner of that tree. Ask the Gemara, my Tama, what is the reason that a tree has to be distanced from a city? Because the city has to be kept beautiful, and having these trees next to the city takes away from the beauty of the city. So I saw Psak L'Aloch L'Maisa, that our Gemara is teaching us that one has to be sensitive to beauty. So Paskins of Yitzchak Zilberstein, that let's say in Eretz Yisrael they have mainly apartment houses, and people have gates around their porches, around their big open windows, around the big windows. And all of the people in one house had one type of very nicely made gate. And one of the neighbors of the house says that he doesn't want to spend money on these gates, which are more expensive. He wants to have a different gate, a cheaper gate, but it doesn't look as nice. And bechlal, it won't look nice if all of the gates in the house are one type, besides one apartment has different type of gate. Can the other neighbors force this neighbor to spend the money and make similar type of gates to what they have? And he passed, certainly. Al Gemara taught us that the concept of Noi Ha'ir, specifically in Eretz Yisrael, we have to be concerned for the beauty of Eretz Yisrael, and that's something that has to be, that should be followed. He even goes on to say that let's say somebody wants to make a sukkah in the courtyard of the house, or on a porch of his house, but to make the sukkah that way, he has to do some sort of construction which will make that area have not such a pretty look. Again, our Gemara teaches us the concept of Noi Ha'ir, and Noi Ha'ir teaches us that we have to be concerned that everything remain beautiful, even if it's at the expense that the person won't be able to make the type of sukkah, a large sukkah, convenient sukkah, which is a Dvar Mitzvah. Another interesting episode, story that I saw based on our Mishnah is as follows. The Chassam Sofer once came to the city of Pressburg before he was the Rav of that city. At that time, the Rav of that city was Rebbe Shom Igra. And he had a question. The Gemara Masechta Bracha says, if somebody sees one of the Chachamim, one of the great leaders of Klal Yisrael, he has to make a bracha, Shecholot Michachmasoi Lireyov. So the question was, should he make the bracha? Because that bracha is actually not quoted by the Shulchan Aruch. So what the Chassam Sofer wanted to do was just recite the passage of the Gemara in Masechta Brachos. Like that, he would be Yoytze the Chiyav if he did or didn't have to make the bracha. Rav Shom Igra sensed his question, and he said, it's very interesting to note, the din of our Mishnah, that one shouldn't plant an Ilan Sarak, a tree that doesn't give fruit, next to the city, so that it's not quoted in the Shulchan Aruch, is understandable, because the Shulchan Aruch only quotes halachas that are relevant to Zman Hazeh, when we're not in Eretz Yisrael, when we don't have a Beis HaMikdash. But the Rambam, he says, does quote halachas that are all going to be relevant when Mashiach comes. So why doesn't the Rambam quote this din of our Mishnah? Similarly, why doesn't the Rambam quote the din that if somebody sees a Chacham B'Yisrael, he has to make the bracha? So he says, the Rambam doesn't quote both of those dinim, because both of those dinim are not relevant bezman hazeh, as we just explained, because there's no chacham bezman hazeh, said Rav Shom Igra, that's worthy of the bracha being made for him. and we don't have this whole concept that we're learning in our Mishnah Gemara about trees near a city. Furthermore, the Rambam holds, it's not going to be relevant when Mashiach comes. Why? Because the din of Ilan Tzrak won't be relevant when Mashiach comes, because when Mashiach comes, there won't be any more Ilan Tzrak. All trees will give fruit. And when Mashiach comes, there will be Chachamim, there will be Tchias HaMesim, and all of the great Gedolei Yisrael that lived in Klal Yisrael over all the generations will live amongst us. When is there a din that you have to make a bracha when you see a chacham? When it's something rare that doesn't occur on a daily basis. But then it will be a regular occurrence with great frequency that we will come in contact with great chachamim. So you can't make the bracha. That's why the Rambam doesn't quote either of those two dinim. Ask the Gemara, why does Ula say that the reason these trees should not be planted near the city is because Noyeir, but typically they ain't oisim sodom migrish for la migrish sodom. The halach is that the 1,000 amis near every city in Eretz Yisrael has to be left open. Migrish, it's a place that should be left open with no planting. The next 1,000 amma is sodom. Most rishonim say that this din applies only in Eretz Yisrael. Some Rishonim say that applies in Chutz La'aretz, but it only applies in Chutz La'aretz when all of Klal Yisrael is in Eretz Yisrael. So we have to leave this area empty. 1,000 Amma area or empty. So what's the issue about 25 Amma and 50 Amma? Answers the Gemara, Letzricha L'Rabbi Elazar. Our Gemara is following the opinion of Rabbi Elazar. The Amma Ois in Sada Migrish or Migrish Sada. That the area of a Sada can be turned into Migrish and vice versa. Hachit. So therefore, you can really plant in the 1,000 amma near the city. But now, our Mishnah teaches us the Gemara according to Rabbi Elazar, teaches us a new concept. Mishum no yair lo yavdinun. Because we want to keep the city beautiful, so the area, the 25, 50 amma near the city, cannot be planted. Or Rabbanan, Nami. And he says the Gemara, we have a way of explaining our Mishnah even according to Rabbanan. Even the Rabbanan that hold, Ein oitzim soda migrish, v'lo migrish soda, hani milis roim. In the 1,000 amma closest to the city, you can't plant grain. Avla alonis, trees can be planted there. For Hochan, our Mishnah teaches us, Mishum no yair, because to keep the city beautiful, loy, we shouldn't even make trees there. Says the Gemara, Menot Temra, the Shani ben Zroim Lilonis. Where do we see this distinction between trees and grain? The Tanya. Because we learned in the Braisa. Kaf Yosef Beis Asayim. We know, as far as Hilchas Shabbos is concerned, there's an area that's called Rishus HaYochid, and there's an area that's called the Rishus Rabbin. But there's a third type of an area, which is Rishus, the Rabbanim called the Carmelis. One of the examples of what is considered a Carmelis is a very large area, larger than a Beis Asayim. So if it's not a place where people live, it's a Carmelis. But if it's Hukif Ladira, then you could carry there. That makes it's still considered Rishus HaYochid. However, Nizra Ruba, and most of that area was planted with grain. Harei Kugina, it has the din of a Gina. For also it has the din of a Karfif, of a Karmelis. Noit Ruba, but if you plant trees there, Harei Kuchotzer, it still has the din of a Chotzer, a Mutter, and one could carry there. It's still considered a residential area. So we see from here that an area with grain is planted is not considered an area where people walk. Why? Because either they don't want to trample the seeds, or because on Shabbos it's also to trample the seeds. But in a place where trees are planted, it's still considered an open area. It's still considered a place that's hooked. It's still considered an area of hook of ladira, because you can walk between the trees, and it's actually pleasant to walk between the trees because they give shade. And therefore, the Rabbanan will agree that even the area, the 1,000 amas right outside of the city, which has to be left open, it means open that you can't plant grain there, because we want it to be an area where people could stroll. The trees don't prevent people from walking there, and because they don't prevent people from walking there, it could be planted with trees. Now comes our Mishnah to teach us that even though you could plant the Migrash with trees, you still have to leave 25, 50 amma open. You have to leave 25 or 50 amma open because of Noya Ha'ir. So our Mishnah said, Vimi'ir Kadma, if the city came before the tree. You should cut down the tree, and you don't compensate the owner of the tree. Ask the Gemara, we're going to learn in Mitzvah Shem tomorrow shir, that if somebody planted illegally a tree within 25 amas of somebody else's pit, the tani, that the Mishnah teaches us, kaitzitz, that tree should be cut down for noisendomim. However, the owner of the tree is compensated for his tree. Or mashna hacha, ask the Gemara, why in our Mishnah tani, that if somebody planted a tree illegally, kaitzitz, the tree is cut down, and the owner of the tree is not compensated. Amr of Kahana, our Mishnah is referring to a city. That Mishnah is referring to two individuals. When we speak about a city, we have a concept of k'deira de beis shutfi like k'mimi v'like k'riri. A pot that has two cooks is neither hot nor cold. If we're going to have to wait for somebody for the city to compensate the owner of the tree, so everybody in the city says that the other person take care of it. And that's why a pot that's cooked by two chefs is not hot nor cold, because every cook relies on the other chef. Here too, everybody relies that the other one will pay. Meanwhile, the tree will remain. And as we learned in the previous Gemara, there's a concern of noi ha'ir, and therefore the tree should be cut down. And we don't wait for somebody to get paid. Or my kosher, ask the Gemara, what kind of question was this in the first place? As we said, there in the next Mishnah, Daf Chav Hey, we're referring to Azekah the Yochid. Here we're talking about Azekah the Rabbim, and that's why we're stricter. The Mishani Azekah the Rabbim, Mezekah the Yochid. Eli Yitran the Rav Kahana Seifitma. This discussion refers to the Seifa of the Mishnah. The Mishnah said in the Seifa that if the tree was there before the city was built, Ime Ilan Kadam Kaitzitz, then the tree should be cut down for nice and damim. Ask the Gemara, Velemelahu, why can't the owner of the tree say, Hava liberesh dami vada ekitz, first let me compensate me for the tree and then I'll cut it down? On that answers Rav Kahana, on Rav Kahana, Kedeir de Beishutvi lechamim v'lo karira. Something that's owned by many people is not hot nor cold. And if we're going to wait till somebody will pay, nobody will ever pay because everybody in the city relies on the other person. And meanwhile, the tree is standing. That's why Chazal said, first cut down the tree, and then the owner of the tree will demand his payment. I saw two nice explanations on Kedeira de Beis Shutfi, like Chamimah, like Karira. One shot that I saw is that our Gemara is giving us advice how partners should act with each other. Chamima we know means that somebody is hot-headed, somebody is very excited. Karira means somebody is taking it very easy. And our Gemara is teaching us, Kedeira de Beis Shutfi, if two people want to have a successful partnership with each other, like Chamima or like Karira, they shouldn't get too excited in working with each other. For like Karira, they shouldn't be too calm. They should have the right attitude, not too much and not too little. That's one pshat that I saw. Another pshat that I saw from the Ben Yoyada is as follows. We know that the Gemara teaches us in Masech the Shabbos that Shnaim Shasua, if something can be done by one individual, but it's done by two individuals, for Allah is that it's not potter because the Aveiru was done. But it's not chayiv midaraisa because it was done by two individuals, an act that could have been done by one. So that's what Gemara says. Kedeira de Beis Shutfi, if something could have been done by one individual and was done by two individuals, it's loy chamima. You don't get the same oinish. You don't get the same punishment as if you would have done it by yourself for loy karira. But you're not completely exempt. It's potter avalasa. We learned in the Mishnah, Savak Zek Kodim, Savak Zek Kodim, and we don't know if the tree came first or the city came first. Kaitzitz Ve'enet Nois and Domim. The tree should be cut down, but the owner is not compensated. Ask the Marmaish number bar, why is this different than when we learned by bar, the Amrit, that we learned that Allah is Lo Yokutz, that you don't cut down the tree. If we don't know if the tree came first or the pit came first, we don't have to cut down the tree. Answer the Gemara, Hossam, the tree certainly does not have to be cut down. If a tree was there before a pit, the halacha we're going to learn is that the tree doesn't have to be cut down. So therefore, if it's a safik, we don't tell the owner to cut down the tree. Whereas in the case in our Mishnah. The Vadai. Even if the tree was definitely there before the city, Lamekitzkoi, the tree has to be cut down. So therefore, by Sveikunami, even in a situation where there's a Sufik, I mean like Kites, we have to cut it down. Now, the tree was cut down, but the owner claims that it should be compensated. Vibmashim Dame, and now that the owner of the tree comes and claims for compensation, Amrinle, Aisraishko, proof to us that the tree was there first and that you're entitled to compensation. Hamoitz Michaveroi, all of Haraya.